כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Started at the Turaway in Northwest London, Monday, 20 September, Yudala Tishri, Erev Sukkos, Rabbi Sholom Siegel, a rain-free Sukkos, hopefully. This week's Turaway is sponsored by Family Green, Bid Nishmas Dalia Rivka, Alea Sholom Basi, Bullachayim Tovim, Arukim, Reb Moshe Zev, El Chonam, whose Yahrzeit is on Simchas Torah.
Thank you. This is Hashem. I just want to, first of all, just in this first 5-10 minutes of the shiur, just speak about halachas which, Bez Hashem, won't be relevant this evening. As we said, we hope it will be rain free. But I just want to share with you a he'ora based on the halachas of this evening, which struck me this year. And that's as follows. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Zayin, where the Gemara discusses that, the Mishnah there, in fact, where it discusses how many meals the person has to eat in the Sukkah. And you have there Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim, as to whether there is a minimum number of meals that a person has to eat in the Sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah at least says 14 meals. The Gemara says he retracted later, but 14 meals. And the Chachomim, well, there's two each day, 7 days, and the Chachomim say no. If a person doesn't want to eat, he doesn't have to go into the sukkah. You want to eat, you obviously have to go into the sukkah, but there's no actual minimum number. And the Gemara brings that nonetheless, the Gemara asks that if you say that it's optional. If you want to eat, you go in the sukkah. You don't want to eat, you don't have to go into the sukkah. Does that mean even the first night? And the Gemara says, because when it comes to the first night, the Torah makes it chayva. We learned this through a gezeira shava of tesvav from Pesach. Just like by Pesach, we know that although, once again, for the whole Yom Tov of Pesach, if you don't want to eat bread, you don't have to eat matzah. If you want to wash, you have to eat matzah. The exception is the first night, bo'erev tochel matzos, on the first night of Pesach, you have to eat a kezayis of matzah. So we learn through a gezeira shava of tesvav, from there, so to by sukkahs, the first night is, and for us obviously in chutzaret, the second night much the same, there's a chayva, there's an obligation to eat in the sukkah. Strictly speaking, it seems, there are days that say it's going to be a kibetza, but strictly speaking, it seems even just a kezayis. From a practical point of view, if you're going to wash, in order to avoid any shaylos of washing on the Tiyas Adayim, obviously, and for Yom Tov purposes, anyway, it makes sense to eat the two kibetzim, a kibetza. So the question is like this. What is the nature of this chiyuv on the first night of Yom Tov? Like the first night of Pesach of Sukkot, what is the nature of this chiyuv? The Rishonim discuss what happens if it's raining on the first night. So again, just cutting straight to the core of it, keeping it as simple as possible, it basically comes out, we've got two main schools of Rishonim. Some take on that the first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov. I.e., the Torah says, Basukah is Teshuvu Shivat Yomim, that, yes, you have to be in a sukkah, but it's also got to be Teshuvu. And Teshuvu tells me, Teshuvu Kein Tazur, that it's got to be like you would live in your house. Now, you wouldn't sit eating in your house if there was a leak, if the rain was coming in, you wouldn't be sitting there eating. So likewise, in the sukkah, if the rain is coming in, first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov, the Rashba, Tosfos, the Rivers, they all take on that on the first night as well, Mitzayah is potam in our sukkah, and if it's raining and the rain is not letting up, you would have no chiyuv on the first night to eat in the sukkah. However, other Rishonim take on that that's not the case. They say the first night, the Gabe, that kezayis, let's say, well, for our purposes, we'll assume it's a kezayis, but that kezayis that we learn, test four from Pesach, there's no din of teshuvah kein tazur. There's just a din, basukos. Just like on Pesach, you have to eat a kezayis of matzah, so too, on sukkahs, the first night, you have to eat a kezayis. Where? In a sukkah. There's no din of teshuvah, though. It means just go into the sukkah and eat a kezayis of matzah. That's it. That's the two schools. Now, the Ramah...
Hey, you have to eat a kezayis of matzah.
No, in the sukkah. According to which Rosh Hashanah? First or second? According to the first group of Rosh Hashanah, the Rashba, the Rivers, the Tosfos, they all hold that first night is no different to the rest of sukkah. There's a chiyuv. It's true. There's a chiyuv to eat this kazayis the matzah. It's a chayva, but only if. Did I say matzah? Sorry. Yeah, it could be matzah as well. They actually talk about it. They talk about why, you know, test off. I think there's possibly a prima godim about it. About, yes, you're going to learn test off. Perhaps it should be a kazayis the matzah in the sukkah. But the mice, obviously we don't take part of that. So you eat your kazayis of challah in the sukkah. But the Rashba says that it's no different to the rest of Yom Tov. If it's raining, mitzvah is potter min asukkah. That includes the first night as well. So in which case, yes, if it's raining throughout, you'd be able to sit in the house and eat in the house.
Of course, you have to eat tonight.
Yeah, mitzvah Yom Tov. Anyway, you're going to. Oh, I see what you're saying. Would that presumably? I think anyway you'd have it al tiyomta. It wouldn't really make a difference. But as for the other school of Rishonim, say basukah, it's got to be in the sukkah. Whether a person is mitzvah, whether it's raining, it makes no difference. Soft on the first night. There's no din of teshuvah kain taldu. Those are the two schools of Rishonim. When it comes to la halacha. So the Ramah, I think it's in Tofresh Lamed Tes, the Ramah goes with the second school, meaning to say that on the first night, if the rain is not going to let up, he talks about waiting till Chatzos, we'll mention that just briefly in a second, how long does the person have to wait, but in theory, if you can see weather forecasting is getting close to Chatzos, or people are getting hungry, then a person would go into the sukkah, and he would eat the kazayis of matzah, challah, whatever it is, he'd eat it in the sukkah even if it is raining. The Vilna Gaon, on the other hand, takes on that the halacha is like Tosfos, is like the Rashba, i.e. the first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov, and therefore mitzvah is potter min ha-sukkah applies on the first night as well, and therefore if the rain is not letting up, a person would have no chiyuv to eat in the sukkah on the first night more than any other night. And therefore the Mishnah Brura makes the compromise and he says, what you should do is eat in the sukkah. If clearly the rain is just not going to stop, a person should eat in the sukkah, but without a bracha. Because regarding the bracha of Leishev, we say Sofik bracha is lahakel, right? Don't make the bracha. And klapi the chiyuv of eating in the sukkah, so go in, make kiddush, eat your challah, and then after that, you've already been yoked to that chiyuv, and then you can close the roof and proceed from there onwards. But you do it without a bracha because we've got this machleka. As I said, how long does a person have to wait? So again, it talks about until chatzos, because after chatzos it gets too late in terms of the Yom Tov meal, like the chiyuv of the night meal should be before chatzos. So it's only until chatzos. But others say that from a practical point of view, in all likelihood, it's not going to be till Chatzos, because if people are getting hungry, then anyway, besides anything else, you've got mitzvah is going to be potter min ha-sukkah. In other words, mimonafshach. If let's say you've waited an hour, and the kids are getting cranky, and people are getting hungry, and you've got guests, etc., and you clearly got a state of having to continue like this, fasting, is mitzvah. So therefore, the cheshbon is like this, mimonafshach, going to the sukkah at this point. Go into the sukkah, make kiddush, eat your kazayis or kabeitza of challah, obviously without the lay shape, because mimonafshach. If mitzvah is potter min ha-sukkah even on the first night, so then it makes no difference whether I eat in the sukkah or I eat in the house, I can wait all night. If it's raining, I'm potter from the sukkah anyway. So in which case, eating this whilst it's raining is not going to make any difference. I'm not losing out by doing that. And if you're going to say, no, mitzvah is not potter min ha-sukkah on the first night, you've got the chatzos, in which case I can eat in the sukkah even whilst it's raining. Why are we waiting till chatzos? Why am I waiting longer? Just because there are those who say that the first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov, and kol zman it's raining, you've got no chiyuv of sukkah, but the first night you've got the chiyuv of test vav, so wait until it stops raining. When it stops raining, I'll be able to go into the sukkah, and I'll be able to fulfill the chiyuv that first night, test for of chayva, I'll be able to fulfill it according to all shetim. That's the only reason we're going to wait. But if, by waiting, you're going to be mitzayir anyway, so then the cheshbon is nemolav shach. I'm also going to the sukkah at that point. If you hold that the first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov, well then in which case, mitzayir is possible in our sukkah anyway. I don't have to eat in the sukkah, I'm mitzayir. We're fasting, to have to continue fasting is mitzayir, we're possible in the sukkah anyway. It's raining right now, we can eat anyway. And if you're going to say, no, the first night is no different to the rest of, is different to the rest of Yom Tov, well then you can eat in the sukkah even when it's raining. There's no dinner station we can't tell to anyway. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah, he brings in the Shah Tzion there, that if it's getting late, the people are getting hungry, there's no point waiting anyway, you've got Simchat Yom Tov, you shouldn't be fasting, so the kitzur, a person will not have to wait till in that situation.
We have a share here, in which it is mashmah that mitzvah is only a tzur if it's the sukkah that's causing the fast. Not the fact that I'm outside the sukkah and I'm hanging around and I don't know what to do. It's only if the sukkah's cold or there's wind or something like that. It's the sukkah itself that's causing you the tzar. That's mitzvah from the sukkah.
No,
it's from some other reason.
No, you're going to see from this. This is some of it comes from the Chayei Odom. You can see not like that. It is a little bit of a chiddush, but that also goes into mitzvah. I'll give you one other example. The Chayei Odom actually says is like this. What happens if a person, after 2 hours, the person decides, you know what, enough is enough, it's raining, it doesn't look like it's going to stop anyway, weather forecast, if you remember last year, this was the whole problem we had last year, would there be a break in the rain, would there not be a break? So finally they give up, they go into the sukkah, make kiddush, without the lay shave, they eat the bread, and fine, that's it, the person, they finish off the meal, let's say with the roof closed, they then go to bed. An hour later, the person's already fallen asleep. Somebody comes and wakes him up and says, the rain's just stopped. Does he have to get up now and go back into the sukkah? Now, if he hasn't gone to bed, the answer is yes. Of course, if a person went into the sukkah, thought it's not going to stop raining, it's getting late, so he decided, you know what, we'll eat with the rain, like we said, without making the lay shave, they go into the sukkah, they eat the meal like that, and then the rain stops. So there's no shaila about it. Of course, you go back into the sukkah and you eat a kazayis again. The idea being, because then, according to those who say, the Rashba, Tosfos, etc., who say that kol zman it's raining, you can't be yotzei the chiyuv of sukkah on the first night, it's no different to the rest of it. So now it stops raining, I've got the ability to fulfill that shit, so of course I would go back in. However, in the situation where the person's already gone to bed, and now he's woken up, he's half asleep, so to have to get up, go out into the sukkah, it's damp outside anyway, it's cold. So that itself is mitzvah potam and al sukkah. There you go, it's another example, mitzvah potam and al sukkah. But there the mitzvah is because it's going from, in order to fulfill my chiyuv, to go from the bed to the sukkah, that itself is tzar. And therefore I've got the psura mitzvah potam and al sukkah. So what do you want to say? That first night, mitzvah potam and al sukkah doesn't apply. Well then in which case, I've already fulfilled my chiyuv when I ate in the sukkah whilst it was raining. So says the Chayei Odom, in that situation, mimonav shach, I'm alright. If you say that the first night is no different to the rest of Yom Tov, so mitzvah potam and al sukkah, it's true, I didn't fulfill my chiyuv when I was sitting, eating in the rain, because at that point, mitzvah potam and al sukkah, but equally, I'm not mechuyav to get out of bed. That's also mitzvah potam and al sukkah. To get out of bed when it's cold and to have to schlep from bed into the sukkah is also mitzvah, says the Chayei Odom, you'd be potter to mitzvah potam and al sukkah. If you're going to say, no, the first night is different to the rest of Yom Tov, mitzvah potam and al sukkah doesn't apply in the first night. On the first night, you have to, whether it's raining, whether it's not, you have to eat a kazayis in the sukkah. I've already done that. Albeit through the rain, but I've already done that. So mimonav shach, I don't have to get out of bed. So again, to summarize, we've said like this. If a person is waiting, it's raining, doesn't look like the rain's going to stop, people are hungry, so he decides he goes into the sukkah, makes kiddush, without lay shave, and eats the bread there, then he closes the roof. Why do we do that? Because some say on the first night there's no din of mitzvah potam in our sukkah. There's no din of mitzvah potam in our sukkah. So in which case you have to eat even in the rain. We don't make the leisure because there is an opposing shetter. If then the rain stops, so once again you'll open the roof and you'll eat another kezayis, this time in order to fulfill those shetters who say that kozmanim is raining, you could not fulfill your chiyuv of the first night. But if a person has already gone to bed and then it stops raining, so to get out of bed and go back into the sukkah, he feels some people will jump out of bed, the opportunity, they say, I'm not mitzvah, this is the greatest simcha. So fine, get out of bed and go into the sukkah. But if it's cold and the person says, I'm mitzvah, then it says the Mishnah Berurah that mimonashach, he doesn't have to go back into the sukkah. Because if mitzvah potam in our sukkah applies on the first night, in which case you didn't do anything when you ate during whilst it was raining, but equally, I'm not mechuyav to get out of bed and go back into the sukkah because I'm mitzvah to go into the sukkah like that. And if you say, no, the first night is different, you don't have the pesur of mitzvah potam in our sukkah, well then in which case I already fulfilled the chiyuv when I ate whilst it was raining. Just one he'orah is the following. Just one little he'orah. Clearly, the halacha we don't take on at this. But there is a tzav to say that whilst it's raining, it's not just a p'tur of mitzvah potam in our sukkah. The Rogatchov, the Moshul, takes on at this. He brings rise to this. If you look at the Rambam, the Moshul, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sukkah, he talks about, obviously, mitzvah potam in our sukkah. And in fact, they actually talk about mitzvah potam in our sukkah. What happens if it's freezing cold? So a person is betzar. If he's potter from the sukkah, he can leave the sukkah. But he decides, you know what? Even though I'm potter from the sukkah, I want to continue sitting here. So they talk about it. Is he doing anything whatsoever, or is it a waste of time? When it's raining, the Loshon of the Rambam is, once it starts raining and it's spoiling the soup, as we've got in the Mishnah there, the Gemara and sukkah, so at that point, says the Rambam, he doesn't say potam in our sukkah. He says, you go inside. He uses a completely different Lashon. So the Rogachava and others, the Gaon actually in Shulchan Aruch, in Tov Reish Lamed Tes, is also mashma like this. That when the rain is coming in, to that extent that it's going to spoil the soup, it's not just mitzvah potam in our sukkah. The sukkah is no longer a sukkah. That's why the Rambam says, go inside. There's no difference whether you're sitting in the sukkah or you're sitting in the house. You're not sitting in a sukkah anymore. Until the rain stops coming through, it's not a sukkah. Now, if that's the case, then if you think back to what we've just been talking about, it's true on the first night, there's no din of mitzvah potam in our sukkah. But you still, somebody asked before, this din of tesvor, is that a din to eat it in the sukkah or even in the house? Of course, I mean, assuming it's not raining, of course the din is to eat it in the sukkah. If you don't have a sukkah, it's true that teshu ke'en tozuru, some rishonim say doesn't apply in the first night. But Abad has got to be basukah, you've got to be in a sukkah. When the rain is coming through, if you were to say that the sukkah is not even a sukkah, then you're, according to everyone, you wouldn't be accomplishing anything. And the emes is, they point out from the Rambam's loshen is, when he talks about rain, that you go into the house, he doesn't say that there's any difference between the first night and the rest of sukkah. It's mashmah, the Rambam holds throughout sukkah, it makes no difference. When the rain is coming in, you go into the house. Now you could say, because the Rambam holds, like the Rashba and that school, Tosfos, who say that Teshuva Kein Tzadura applies throughout Sukkah. You could say that. But you could equally say that the Rambam holds, like the Rogachava says in the Rambam, that when the rain is coming through, it makes no difference whether it's the first night or the rest of Sukkah, it's not a Sukkah. So in which case, Tesvov, you're not sitting in a Sukkah, you may as well sit in the house, you're not doing anything. If you say like that, as I said, I'm not saying the Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah already, as we've said, but something to think about is, according to that, if a person has gone into the sukkah when it was raining because it didn't look like it was going to let up, he made kiddush, ate the bread without making the leishev, and then went to bed. Then somebody wakes him up, he's half asleep, and they say to him it stopped raining. So he says, look, mimonafshach, I don't have to get out, I mean, he's half asleep, but he's arguing here, he said, I don't have to get out of bed. Because mimonafshach, if mitzvah potam in our sukkah applies on the first night, I'm mitzvah now. If you're going to say mitzvah potam in our sukkah doesn't apply on the first night, well then I already ate whilst it was raining. But according to this call it third school, they'll say to him, yeah, mitzvah potam in our sukkah doesn't apply on the first night. If it was freezing cold, you're right, you'd have to go out into the sukkah on the first night and eat your kezayis. That wouldn't get you out of it on the first night. Any other night it would. Freezing cold, you don't have to go into the sukkah if you're really freezing cold. But when it comes to the rain, it's not a sukkah. In which case, you haven't yet eaten in the sukkah. So if you say mitzvah, okay, it's true, you're mitzvah now. So get out of bed, you're mitzvah. But mitzvah kosum in our sukkah, if it's not a pater on the first night, and when you were eating whilst it was raining, you weren't in the sukkah, but then in which case, you'd have to get out of bed. As I said, the halacha of Mr. Burrow is already paskin. In that situation, a person would not be mechuyev to do it. And that's obviously a halacha, therefore. I realize somebody pointed out that is the chiddush. It's a different type. It's like one stage removed. You got tzar, which is mamash to do with the sukkah itself. The sukkah is just it's not a place where you can live. Then you got the tzar is to go into the sukkah. So I think it was actually your son. If I mentioned this, I spoke in Menorah grammar. So if somebody was on crutches, the chayu, that would be the same thing. To get up on crutches and go from there into the sukkah, that would be the same sort of thing. And then obviously you've got even more sort of further removed than that. Some is the tzar. They're probably just lazy. That in a chanami wouldn't be able to. But then, yeah, it is a chiddush. It's a slightly different type of tzar. I think. Okay, just with the time we have left, as we said, hopefully, I mean, Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully this won't be relevant this year, and not just for the first night, Be'ezus Hashem will be a zeichus sitter and eat all the meals and shena, etc. in the sukkah. But we know that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that we have the mitzvah of nisach hamayim is through doing nisach hamayim, Be'ezus Hashem will be zeichus to gishmei bracha in the right time, as we said. That's why we only do Tfilas Geshem at the other end of on Shemini Atzeret. We know that the focal point of this mitzvah of Simchas HaChag, Zman Simchas Einu, it centers around this Ush'avtem Mayim B'Sofen. It's the Simcha of the Simchas Pesach Sheva, is the drawing of the water, the Nisach HaMayim. And obviously it's a very difficult concept to understand. Why would that, what's the great Simcha in the Simchas Pesach Sheva? Equally, in fact, perhaps even more difficult, most definitely even more difficult, is there's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Ches. I look at each year and I think to myself, maybe this year we'll get a little bit of understanding in it. And until now, I haven't got very far. This year, I think I've got a little bit more understanding. This Gemara, I'll just quote to you in a second, this Gemara, the Vilna Gaon, supposedly said, if a person came into this world just to get a full understanding of this Gemara, it's Kedai. We know that the Vilna Gaon was nifta over Sukkot, and they say, this is what they say, that the Vilna Gaon said, this Gemara we're about to read, this Gemara here, he was zeichet to get a full understanding. He doesn't mean as we understand it, a full, obviously deep understanding. He says, this is the Gemara he's going to darshan when he goes up. When he's nifta, this is going to be the first drosh he's going to give. So what is this Gemara? The Gemara says you've got these two minim, hanol tre mine, you have these two heretics, Chad Shemei Sosin, one was called Sosin, Chad Shemei Simcha. The other one was called Simcha. Two heretics, one was called Sosin, one was called Simcha. So, Omane Sosin and Simcha, so this is on Daf Mem Ches, on the base in Sukkah. So, Sosin says to Simcha, Anoa Bifno Minoch, I'm better than you. Dichsib, because Shteitim Posuk, Sosin and Simcha Yasigu, it's talking about the Osid, Sosin, and then Simcha, they're going to obtain, they'll attain. So I come first, you see, I'm better than you. So, Omar is Simcha to Sosin. So, Simcha says back to Sosin. He says, no. I'm not at this, let me not. I'm better than you. Dichsiv, Posekin, Megidah Esther. Simcha to Sosin, now Yehudim. First Simcha, and then Sosin. So, Omar is Sosin and Simcha. So then they go back. There's another back and forth. Sosin says, Simcha, you know what? Chad Yemo Shavkuch, Beshavuch, Paravanko. One day they're going to make you as their messenger to go ahead. You're going to be used just as a logi messenger. So Amari Simcha to Sosin. Simcha says back to Sosin, like an insulting match back and forth here. So he says to him, well, you should know, one day, they're going to use you to fill up the water. They're going to fill up water with you. Right? Obviously, a very, the Marashal just says, yeah, this was the way of these heretics, very childish, back and forth, they used these psukim. And that's the way the Marashal puts it. But the Vilna Gaon says, obviously, there's something much, much deeper going on here. I'm not going to even begin to claim to know what the Gaon had in mind. I just want to share with you one idea. But let me just read the last bit of Gemara here. Omar Le'ahu Mino Tishmei Sotan Rabbi Abo. You got, it seems to have been a popular name amongst these Minim. There was this man, he was also, called, I don't know if it was the same one, called Sotan. He said to Rabbi Abohu, Atiditu the Tamalu Di Mayim La'amud Ofi. In the future, you're going to fill for me water. I'm going to be there, you're going to fill water for me. Zechseb Sha'at Mayim the Sotan. So Omar Le'ahu, he said to him, Iyav Ksib Le'Sotan Kidaka Omar. You don't have to read the pasuk. If it would have said "Dushav Temayim Le Sotan," then you'd be quite correct. You'll draw water for Sotan. But how does it say "The Sotan"? Now that it says we'll draw water "The Sotan," Moshe Dahu Gavro Meshavino Neguda. What it means is they're going to take your skin and they're going to make it into a flask. Umalino Beimayo Dushav Temayim The Sotan. They're going to flay your skin and they're going to make it into a flask, and that's what they're going to drink the water with. Obviously, this whole Gemara is way, way, way above us. But just one, perhaps one idea one insight into this Gemara. And that's based on an idea that Chazal say, Mordechai Pogromansky, he says, he brings the Mumoch Hashem and Akim Zimo Mi'al Kol Ponim. Chazal say Mi'al Kol Ponim. Kol tells us that in the future, not only will there be no tears of Tsar, there will be no tears of Simcha either. He says, what's Peshat? There won't be any tears. There won't be any tears of joy. What does that mean? So this is his psychology in this. He says, why do people cry when they are happy? He believes the reason is that it's because they sense the Simcha is not going to go on forever. It'll come to an end. So a person standing at a chuppah, why do they get emotional? It's because the chuppah is going to be over in a half an hour, whatever it is. So therefore, it's not a simcha that will go on forever. And he says that's the shot when Binyamin and Yosef, they vayif al sabri Binyamin vayif ochi vayif. So they cried on each other's shoulders. And Rashi says over the Beis Hamikdash, over the Mishkan, says what were they crying over? Because they thought it was going to be destroyed. He says, of course, there's a simcha, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdosh, and your chedek, my chedek, etc., but it's going to come to an end. Whether it's after 410, 420 years, the Mishkan, it's going to come to an end. That's what he wants to suggest. I'll be honest, I find it, you'd have to say something subconscious, because I don't believe most people will tell you that's why they're crying. They sense it's going to come to an end. I've seen as well, there are questions on this as well. Reb Chaim Kanievsky also, I think, he brings a raya connected this. So, perhaps we could suggest like this. Why do people get emotional, both the Tsar and in terms of Simcha? And perhaps the reason is because, obviously, when a person's emotions build up inside, it gets to a certain point where the dam bursts. Meaning to say, the pressure builds up, and then eventually, finally, the iron is loshen and mayon, it's like a spring. Finally, the water it gives way, and it comes out. We know when a person finally stop crying, it allows the emotions to a person becomes a little bit calmer. In other words, there's that pressure, it's like a pressure cooker there, and finally it gets to a certain point, a person can't hold in those emotions anymore, and finally it gives way. That's the idea of the chiyah, it just lets finally the dam burst. That's only going to be relevant bizman hazeh. Le'ofi lovei, when all limitations are removed. We know limitations both in terms of, like the Maharal says, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam HaZeh with the letter Hey. Because the letter Hey is a Yud, which is like Olam HaBo, but it's with a Dalet. Because he says the Dalet Malchuyas, be it Rome, Persia, Greece, etc., all of these Malchuyas are limiting their surroundings, so to speak, they're limiting the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Else the Lover, that would all be gone. Bodo Mishim, Ba'aretha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe out Harmonic, etc. All these limitations will be removed. There won't be any limitations. We'll have a Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh where Omdim Tzufufim or Mishtachavim Rebokim. Because the Beis HaMikdosh is not just, yes, it's in this world, but we know it's there, Shaar HaShamayim. It's just a gateway to an expanse which is infinite. We know going up, that's true, and also going down. Because we know the Mizbeach had the holes, which we'll come to in a second, where the Nisach HaMayim, the Nisach HaYayim went down, all the way down to Bereshis, to the Shittim, to the very foundations. Bereshis, Boroshis, the very foundations of the world. So the Beit HaMikdosh was, as it were, a gateway. Yes, it's in this world, but it's just a gateway to the expanses of the heavens, and the opening to the expanses of the Tahoim. That's what we'll have in the future. There won't be any limitations, and therefore, there will be no need for tears. Reb Shimshon Pinker says, he says that, he's talking about with the Zman Bechor, and the Beis HaMikdash itself. He says, when a kli is beginning to give way, so you can do one of two things. You can either continue to fill it as you filled it before. What will then happen is it will just crack, it'll just burst. Or you can limit what you put into it. The amount of bracha that we can take now, or in our terms, the amount of simcha that we can take now has its limits. The reason being because, as we said, we are limited. So yes, we can have a little bit of an outlet when the dam bursts and a person cries, let's force that emotion. But the simcha, the sosin, is somewhat limited. There won't be any need for tears, because the joy, even obviously there's Hashem will be just joy, not sad. But the idea is it will be limitless, and there'll be no need for any dam, no need for anything to burst. There will be no limitations, no gebulim. I've already gone over time, so let me just very briefly explain how this fits in over here. A min is somebody who believes in Teresh B'Chtav and not Teresh Baal Peh. He believes in Teresh B'Chtav, not Teresh Baal Peh. When a person believes just in Teresh B'Chtav, not Teresh Baal Peh, what he's doing is he's taking the Torah and he's making it limited. He's got a certain number of letters, he's got a certain number of words, that's it. What you see is what you get. It's only through Teresh Baal Peh that we realize that the Torah is Taka, is Ein Sof. But if you believe just in Teresh B'Chtav, then it's limited. These two minim, one called Sos and one called Simcha, represent where we are now. Not as minim, but we live in a world, as we said, where there are limitations. And they're discussing Sos and Simcha in the future, what's going to be greater. Who's going to come first? And again, we don't have time to explain why, but the kids, there's different ways of looking at it. Does it start with Simcha, and then Sosin is the outward expression of it? So does it start from within, or does it start like the Ramchal says, if a person, let's just apply it to Simcha, if a person's feeling down, so what should a person do? Start dancing, start clapping, and the external will be Ma'ora, the Panimia. So you can look at it in two ways. The kids, we know that Sosin, the Gemara says, Sosin Zumila. Sosin Zumila, the Gemara says in Megillah. Sofen is the removal of that orla. It's the removal of that skin which is blocking, which is limiting. And that's what's going on over here. Which after mind the sofen means that the Otilovi, Rabbi Avol said to this min, he said they're going to take your skin, and again, in other words, sofen, that is the skin of orla, the skin of blockage, the limitations, that's going to be removed. They're going to fill the water with that, and the water is going to be filled, and it's going to go down, down, down to the very Tahoe. And through that, that's going to access, that's going to start off the rains of bracha coming from the heavens. So this, in other words, through Nisachamayim, what this does is it taps into the, as we said, the heavens, and all the way down to the very, very depth to the Tahoe. And that's the great simcha of Nisachamayim. This simcha we know, as the Gemara discusses, this was just ongoing. They didn't even have time to sleep properly. It was just kol kulei simcha, something which we can't even begin to imagine. It had no limitations whatsoever. It wasn't just the drawing of the water. Which up their mind, the sosin is, it was unlimited simcha. The sosin means that the skin, the orla, the limitations, that's what's going to be removed. There won't be any tears anymore. There won't be anything to be magvil the simcha. The otilov will be kol kulei simcha, without any limitations. Bezal Hashem, over the onset of Sukkot, we have the ability to tap in to a me'en of that. Bezal Hashem, we should be zeicha to Zman Simchotenu, and Bezal Hashem, a forerunner for the rest of the year of only simcha.
Olam shalem shel tochen mechakeh lecha bekol halashon. 03-617-1111